How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
I don't know what that is, other than it's not Muslim. It's not Christian. It is a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as most Christians know it.
I have no evidence that would guide me as to what Glenn Beck would have any genuine knowledge as to what the president does or does not believe.
We're going to burn the Quran.
We do believe the book is evil, it's bad. It's against the Bible, it's against God.
It puts our soldiers at jeopardy, very likely. We've already seen a demonstration here in Kabul, just at the rumor that this event could take place.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, I think it's safe to say that tensions remain high, even after Terry Jones of Dove World Outreach Center in Gainesville, Florida, pastor of about 50 people down there in Florida, had been threatening for some time to take September 11th and make it International Quran Burning Day, even after he decided that he was not going to do this any longer. Tensions still remain high. His threat gained the attention of General David Petraeus, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, even the President of the United States, and other world leaders. Was he right to have threatened to burn the Quran on September 11th? Dr. Adam Francisco will join us in a few minutes to answer that question and to talk about an Iranian woman who is scheduled to be stoned for committing adultery. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, September the 10th. Dr. Adam Francisco will join us first to talk about these two Islam-related issues. Then in the second half hour, Dr. Angus Manoj will join us. Stephen Hawking, famous scientist, has made some statements and has written a book about science and God. He says science has rendered God unnecessary. We'll see what Dr. Angus Manoj has to say about that in about 30 minutes. Then in the second hour of the program, on this Friday afternoon, Dr. Larry Rast will help us conclude our series on the Apostles' Creed. We'll be talking about the Holy Spirit and the Church as we conclude this series on this great confession of the Christian faith. Dr. Adam Francisco is Associate Professor of History at Concordia University, California, and author of the forthcoming book, Martin Luther and Islam. Dr. Francisco, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd.
Was Terry Jones, this pastor in Florida, was he right and was he prudent to threaten burning Qurans on September 11th?
It wasn't prudent, but he certainly had a right to do it. I mean, in theory, not exactly the wisest maneuver. The latest news now, though, is, as you indicated earlier, that he's received a word from God or a sign from God. And he will not burn the Quran or not hold this Quran burning day on Saturday. And the account right now, the latest news is that he's been in contact with the future imam of the mosque at Ground Zero. And he says that the mosque or the imam has promised that he won't build the mosque there if they don't burn the Quran. But the imam, Faisal Abdul Rauf, says that he has had no such conversation with the pastor.
Interesting. What is the impulse here? I mean, we're talking about a very complex political, social phenomenon. What is the impulse that has so many deeply alarmed, perhaps rightly so, about radical Islam and concerned about where mosques are built, whether mosques are built at all in the United States?
Well, I think there are all sorts of reasons behind this inability to deal adequately or think clearly about Islam and its presence in America and its the rise of what some might call militant Islam across the globe. You have some people who rightfully are worried about the encroachment of Islam in the West and the political ascendancy of Islamism. Islam as an ideology is very aggressive and historically has been expressed very violently. At the same time, you have those folks who recognize that not every Muslim embraces that sort of ideology, although if they're truly devout Muslims and hold to this view of the Quran as being God's word, they ought to be. Then you have those, you might call them secularists, who refuse to even think deeply about Islam or analyze it and try to understand the impulse behind Islam and modern Islamism.
On the side of worldwide Islam, why is the reaction, what within Islam would bring about a reaction not only to a threatened burning of the Quran, but to sometimes lighthearted mockery of the Prophet Muhammad? Why such a low threshold for these reaction among many Muslims worldwide?
You could boil it down to their worldview. They have a very different worldview that is extremely intolerant of anything that looks like it might be a critique of Islam, or certainly a mockery of Islam and their prophet Muhammad. It's interesting with this burning of the Quran incident. This claim that they were going to burn Qurans down in Florida this Saturday. You do find in the history of Islam, way early in Islam's history, around 650 A.D., after the initial canonical codex of the Quran was put together, it was discovered that there were other codexes or codices put together that contradicted or perhaps rendered the Quranic text a little differently, and you have the third caliph of the Muslim world ordering that all those spurious copies be burned. So Muslims themselves have, in their history, interestingly, burned copies of the Quran. As far as why they're so defensive, I think there are all sorts of reasons, but I do think that Muslims, and especially Islamists, are looking for any sort of excuse to point fingers at the West or to distract our attention to the Muslim world and cause us to look at ourselves and perhaps find blame within ourselves for some of the violence we see in the Muslim world.
There are those who say, look, prudence would dictate that if you know you have essentially a wild animal, you don't provoke the wild animal. The wild animal is dangerous enough as it is. I think that's something in the mindset of someone like General David Petraeus, who says, look, it's hard enough dealing with Islam as it is. Let's not do anything to provoke them. Others would say, well, they shouldn't be so sensitive. And maybe this is what Islam really is. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I'm kind of torn. You know, I oftentimes wonder, and this was brought up in a History News Network today in a blog by Timothy Furnish, where he recounts something that happened a little more than a year ago, where copies of the Bible were found in different translations in Afghanistan, and the U.S. Army, maybe the Air Force, was ordered to burn copies of the Bible. There was no outcry then from Christians or Muslims. So there certainly is a double standard at work here. It's almost as if Islam has special protection, because everybody is worried about how the Muslim world will react when it feels threatened. How one should respond to that, I'm not sure. Maybe I could say it's above my pay grade, but it seems that this issue with the pastor down in Florida, he does bring up some interesting points. You know, he did say, not that I'm endorsing burning the Quran, but he did say that perhaps this attention that he was getting would get people to ask really hard questions about Islam, which we need to start doing. Absolutely, we need to stand up for our own values, protecting and defending freedom of speech, and also getting people to take Islam and the Muslim world seriously.
What does the Quran represent to a thoroughgoing Muslim? With about a minute and a half,
real quickly, it's God's word, God's eternal speech, uttered from all eternity, in time and space now. So when it is recited in Arabic, it is as if Allah is speaking directly to whoever is hearing the Quran recitation.
So to mistreat it, to show the Quran any kind of dishonor, or it, to destroy it, says what, as far as we can tell, to such a thoroughgoing Muslim?
It says that we have no regard for whom they regard as God. Says that it essentially says to them that we are atheists, because they're under the impression, of course, that Allah is the one true God. So this is further evidence of them, of the West secularism, which for them and for many people is synonymous with atheism.
So I think it gives us perhaps a better insight than Dr. Francisco into, or perhaps should equip us for understanding the best way to deal with Islam, especially if not radicalism, then those segments of Islam that are not devoted to the destruction of the Western world. If the average Muslim is going to react this way, maybe we need to change our strategy, not talking about how we deal with radical Islam.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think probably one of the best suggestions I've seen out there is that perhaps rather than suggesting we burn the Quran, maybe we ought to be reading the Quran for ourselves too. And all these journalists who are up at arms, and political leaders who are up at arms about this event that was to take place on Saturday, maybe they should actually read the Quran themselves and see just what it teaches and why some people are reacting the way Pastor Jones was going to.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to turn to another subject having to do with Islam. This one, really rather serious. A woman in Iran is scheduled to be stoned for committing adultery. It's part of the sentence if one is found guilty of this crime under Sharia law. We'll see what Dr. Adam Francisco thinks about that after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues, Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues, Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues, Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues, Etc. bumper or window sticker.
The stoning itself has a certain ritual where she will have to be covered and clothed and buried in sand and rocks. And it's kind of harsh to even describe it. But again, I would always say in defense of Islam that stoning to a certain extent is supposed to lead to death. But I would always say that Islam, when asked for lashes or instructed stoning, was not meant to be the painful, the harsh. It was supposed to be the public humiliation that was, after all, the aim and the reason for this.
That's Diana Hamadeh. She is an Islamic legal expert in an interview with CNN talking about a woman who is scheduled to be stoned for committing adultery. Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest for about another 10 minutes. Then Dr. Angus Manoj joins us on this Friday afternoon, September the 10th, to talk about recent statements by scientist Stephen Hawking about God and science. Second hour of the program, Dr. Larry Rass concludes our series on the Apostles' Creed. We'll talk about the Holy Spirit and the Church. Dr. Francisco, is stoning part of either the Quran, the Hadith, or Sharia law's sentence upon the crime of adultery in Islam?
Yes. It's not, you don't find it in the Quran, but it's found in the Hadith, the traditions of Islam, which is, in terms of Islamic law, just as authoritative as the Quran, so long as that anecdote found in the Hadith is a sound anecdote, meaning it can be traced back to Muhammad through various oral sources. So it is legitimate according to classic traditional Islamic law.
Has stoning been part of the history of Islamic civilization?
Oh, sure. You see it even today, and it's not just Iran. You see it in Somalia, and I believe parts of Ethiopia and other usually peripheral regions of the Islamic world. Whether, you know, countries that are a little more advanced where there's a lot of media, you won't see it because of the negative press. But it certainly is around, and it certainly is considered legitimate.
How does the call from the Hadith for an adulteress to be stoned differ from the Old Testament in the Christian scriptures call for an adulteress to be stoned?
That's a real tough question. I think the real simple, easy response is in the Old Testament, those aren't universal prescriptions for all times. They served a particular historical purpose to keep Israel from wandering astray, essentially. The thing with Islam and Islamic law is that this isn't a localized law. This is a law that's to be advanced and imposed upon all people at all times through the instrument of jihad.
And it has been.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, historically. And one could argue even today you're seeing it happen.
I think there are other harsh penalties, corporal penalties, that either the Quran or the Hadith or Sharia law call for. And to us it seems very medieval. To us it seems archaic. Especially given, kind of modern means of penalizing criminals. Why does it persist in the Islamic world in the 21st century?
Yeah, well, in the conservative Muslim world and the conservative Muslim mind, the template or the archetype of what a properly governed and legislated human society has already been laid down in the Quran and the traditions, which includes the Hadith literature. And so to add to or take away from that is seen as going against what God has revealed. So they're very hesitant. You will, of course, find progressive Muslims who will say things like the Hadith are spurious, and therefore we're going to go only with the Quran. But that's out of step with classic Islamic thought. So you're calling it medieval is actually a pretty good description in that they believe that the model of a perfect society has been given. It was given in the 7th century with Muhammad. And the best government, the best people, the best geopolitical space will be that space that is ruled by the law given through Muhammad's teachings and his example.
So you talked earlier about Islam's worldview. It is one that is a conscious attempt to return to an age wherein the prophet could speak from God, and this held the force of law over all who heard it. It's essentially to return to the Mohammedic era.
Yes, for, you know, of course, things are complicated on the street, you know, but that is the impulse of Islam, is to, as Muhammad summed it up perhaps very well, just before he died, when he delivered his what they call his farewell sermon, when he recounts all these different legal prescriptions, dietary laws, and things like that. And then he says that on this day, the religion has been complete, the religion of Islam, and then continues on and says that he and the Muslim community have been instructed by God to cause this ideology, if you will, to prevail over the entire earth, to fight all people, as the Hadith puts it, until they confess there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger.
So this is a not only religion and a system of laws, a society fixed in amber.
Yes, and it's religion's an adequate term to describe Islam, but I think it confuses things, especially in the West, where we, not everybody, but many people see religion as sort of a private state of affairs about spiritual things. Islam is not like that. Islam is a religion. Islam is, as they're pretty overt about describing it, it's an all-encompassing ideology that speaks to or addresses every aspect of human life. In fact, the theology of Islam isn't all that important. What's most important is externalities, things like law and governance and domestic arrangements. Those are the most important things. Those can be imposed by force. The theology and personal beliefs can't be. So they are willing to leave those things alone. The Quran says in 2:256, there is no compulsion in religion, meaning personal belief, but everything else can be imposed upon people.
So in fact, in theory, they would not care much if one converts, as long as one is able to, or willing to live as a Muslim.
Right, yes. Now, you, of course, you find in Iran and other Saudi Arabia, there are religious police people who will pry a bit and who will kind of make sure you're going to, if you're a man, going to mosque enough. But for the most part, it's simply outward allegiance. Because, I mean, it's sort of a, you might say, a sociological insight that you really can't force somebody to really believe something. You can get them to act a certain way, but to get them to really believe something, that's a matter between, as a Muslim would think, Allah and the individual person.
Is this, kind of bringing both parts of our conversation together, is this perhaps what we in the West fundamentally fail to understand about Islam, that it is not just a religion, that it does not conceive of itself as simply a set of religious beliefs?
Yes, I believe so, yes. It's hard to really grasp. It's hard to grasp that there are folks out there who actually believe God has not just revealed himself in terms of what he's like and what he desires, but that he's revealed how you're to, for example, relieve yourself, and how to rule an empire and everything in between, as the Arabs say. So we're not accustomed to. Many people talk about after the Cold War we left the age of ideology. Well, actually we haven't. There's just a whole bunch of new ideologies that have infiltrated the sort of vacuum left after the Cold War.
Finally, then, Dr. Francisco, should it surprise us that in the 21st century, an Iranian woman, or any other woman, proven guilty of adultery would be scheduled for stoning?
Surprise us. It doesn't surprise me one bit. I find it reprehensible, but this is, as to put it simply, this is what they do.
Dr. Adam Francisco is Associate Professor of History at Concordia University, California. He's author of the forthcoming book, Martin Luther and Islam. Dr. Francisco, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Good to talk with you.
When we come back on this Friday afternoon, Dr. Angus Manoj will be our guest. We will have him respond to a statement made recently and a forthcoming book from Stephen Hawking, famous scientist, saying that science has rendered God unnecessary. It's coming up here in just a few minutes. Well, if your concept of God is, in fact, the wholly transcendent and arbitrary emperor of all things, the universe, if this is your picture of God, then it only stands to reason that the primary concern this God would have for his creatures in this world would be servile obedience. That's all a king can ask you to do. He can't ask you to love him, but he can demand that you obey him. He cannot force you to believe in him, but he can force you to do his will. And it is sad that is, in essence, what Islam is. How different the God of Christianity, who does not desire obedience, but faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of every sinner through that Son. We'll be right back.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Things aren't always what they appear. Take Elizabeth Hasselbeck, one of the hosts of the TV program The View. She's perceived by most as very conservative, but she takes a tragic stand on protecting the lives of innocent unborn children. She believes life begins at conception, but doesn't think we should mandate protecting these babies through the law of the land. Her grasp of biology is correct, but what she does with the knowledge is all wrong. Elizabeth also knows day-old infants are human life and would advocate mandating laws to protect them. So what's the difference? It's simply place of residence, inside or outside the womb. Elizabeth can't have it both ways. If scientifically we know human life is there, then we should legally do all we can to protect them.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.